This is CliffCentral.com. Untapped talent on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to it. It's a Friday, a few minutes past 9 a.m. and my name is Sia Sangweni Finn. Thank you so much for having us on. This is Untapped Talent on CliffCentral.com, where every single week we get into a discussion and profiling and shining the light on young people who are doing absolutely awesome stuff. I really like getting in here, you know. This is when I officially know that A, the weekend is starting, but B, we're about to have a cool hour where we really get to chat to young people and they're going about their journeys. And that's when you really realize that age has nothing to do with going about achieving great success in your life. So motivation aside, I think it's going to be a cool show. So in a little bit, I'll be chatting to Cape Town-based comedian. His name is Devin Gray. And what I like most about him, not taking anything away from what he's done in his career thus far, I just think it's kind of cool and corny that his Twitter name is like a shade of gray. Ha ha. Of course, trust the comedian to do that. He has a show in Joburg in the next couple of weeks. And so we'll be talking about that and also why he got into comedy, how he got into comedy, and what he likes about it. I personally feel it's one of the most challenging things out there, because you can be a doctor and you walk into, you know, your practice or your surgery and you have certain expectations and people can think, oh, you know what, you screwed that procedure up, but you can go back to school, you can get more training, you know. You can be a dancer, and if you aren't really good, all you have to do is like stretch your legs or something, I don't know, and you can get better. But as a comedian, when you step onto that stage, you know, people aren't looking at your looks, people aren't looking at how well you're dressed, they're all just focused on whether or not you make us laugh. And that's a tough ask, especially if someone is just genuinely having a bad day or they're just grumpy that day. You have to do that. So yeah, I really do think it's one of the toughest professions out there. And the fact that someone as young as Devin is doing it, you know, he started at the age of 15 and he's doing a kick-ass job at doing that. I think that's awesome. And then later on in the show, I'll be talking to Kelebogile Mabunda, and I actually want to call her by AKA because I think it's kind of cool like that. She goes by the AKA Kelsey Mo. And I've seen her around, you know, in Joburg events here and there. I'm fascinated by this industry because everyone just thinks there's a lot of glitz and glam and it's all so fantastic all the time. But what really goes into doing all of that, and especially once again, being so young yet so focused, and she's really committed and making a name for herself in this industry. I think that takes a lot. And just focusing on that, then she definitely makes for a very interesting person to chat to. So all of this and so much more on the show this morning. If you do want to get in contact with us, all you have to do is tweet us at cliffcentral.com, or you can message us on our WeChat official account. All you have to do is simply tap connect and message to show. So it's cool and done and dusted. So before I get into my interviews, I want to do something new and different on the show. Young people all across the world who are doing incredible things. And so it's a little feature, it's a little new feature I like to call the cover of the week. It is a Friday. Whenever you're listening, listen, we all just need a little downtime to really relax. And I like to focus on popular songs, but more than that, when I have a song stuck in my head, I like to see, since I know that I am no Celine Dion, I like to actually hear how other people are going about with this song. So I like to search different covers on YouTube, and it's actually interesting to hear some of the people who actually stand out with many, many views and who are actually making names for themselves. Literally, all they need sometimes is just a backing track or a guitar or a keyboard and a webcam, and some of these people are just casually in their rooms and they're making such great advances. So cover of the week this week, I'll be focusing on a talented vocalist and this multi-instrumentalist. His name is Alex Aiono. I hope I'm not like butchering his surname. It's A-I-O-N-O. Aiono. Yeah. That sounds right. And he's known, he's actually released singles such as Doesn't Get Better and Alphabet Soup. So, hey, talk about creative titles here. But Alex also has his own YouTube channel, and that has raked in more than 23 million views worldwide. I mean, if you aren't doing much with your life And then you hear of a 19-year-old who has 23 million views on YouTube. He used to perform in highly populated areas. He's based in America, in Santa Monica, to be more precise. And he used to just jam out on the streets. But now this rising star is actually taking his talents on the road. So he's going around and touring in different areas. And so he plays the guitar, he plays the piano, he plays drums, bass, and the ukulele. And Alex hails from Phoenix, Arizona, and grew up with three sisters. But when his family moved to LA, that's when he really made a name for himself at the age of 16. So this crooner has worked with Grammy-nominated writers and producers. And so today, he's our very first official cover of the week. So he's 19 years old, Alex Iona. So say what you will about the song that he's actually performing. I say it's an absolutely meme-worthy music video. It's Drake's Hotline Bling. This music video has taken the world by storm. Also the song as well. Drake's video has, just as a little FYI, that has got about 99 million views on YouTube, just the music video alone. But Alex is almost there with his 1 million performing this song in particular. So check that out. The bottom line is, this guy is young and he has serious, serious talent. So his name is Alex Iona, performing Drake's Hotline Bling.
You used to call me on my cell phone late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone late night when you need my love. I know when that hotline bling, well, that could only mean one thing. I know when that hotline bling, well, that could only mean one thing.
Yo, now that's Alex Iona. He's 19 years old, did a cover of Drake's Hotline Bling in the comfort of his own bedroom, Nochal. I actually just have to say with that as well, the little instrumentals you're hearing in the background and the guitar as well, that is casually just Alex being the best version of himself and just showing us all that, hey, listen, if you're talented, go on with your bad self and just do best. So from one talented young person to another, I'm so excited to chat to this guy. So on Friday the 4th of December, he'll be performing at the Comedy Central Festival taking place at Silver Sands Casino on the West Rand in Gauteng. And he'll be joining the Cape Town Comedy Club, a group that consists of Kurt Schoenrad, and I hope I'm not butchering that surname either, Martin Evans and Lunge Lundlovu. So Cape Town-based comedian Devon Gray is not necessarily a newcomer to comedy. He's taken a two-year hiatus to study web development and design. Listen, when you hear of people taking hiatuses, hiatai? The plural of a hiatus. You think like they'd go to India and start to meditate, but he's like, no, ain't nobody got time for that. Let's actually study web development and design. But now he's hitting the comedy circuit with a vengeance once again. So this morning I'm chatting to Devon. Welcome to the show, Devon.
Hey, how's it going?
Fantastic stuff. So can we just start off with the hiatus that you took? You were already doing comedy. Why did you feel the need to have a little two-year break?
I needed to make something. I needed to make more than just art. I needed to make money, which was a big thing.
Wow.
So decided to do a couple of apps, a couple of websites, so I could come back to comedy with the correct tools that I need to become the comedian that I want to become.
Yeah, I will actually have to say this. I realized this a couple of weeks ago, and I was, you know, no disrespect to comedians, not to say that you guys, we just had this conception that you guys were just dumb, but we didn't think you were the smartest people either. But I heard like John Flismas is on a board somewhere of a company, and Simi Arif has like several degrees, and Joey Razdeen as well. I'm like, you guys are actually very, very smart. And when I think about it more, I think to be a comedian, you have to have a certain mindset to understand an audience or to understand what an audience might find humorous. And there's a lot of thought that goes into like what we see as an effortless 5-minute set. Would you agree with that?
100%. It's more than just going up on a stage and talking for a couple of minutes. It's body language. It's reading the room. It's making sure that you know that what you are delivering is going to hit the minds of people that are watching. So it's definitely bigger than just going up there and talking.
Yeah. So are you the sort of person who wouldn't mind just going to a coffee shop and sitting alone because you get to observe humans doing weird human stuff?
I love going to a coffee shop and just sitting alone. That's not because I am alone, because I'm alone, but like mostly because I just enjoy watching people. I don't really enjoy having to, you know, be occupied with a whole bunch of things. If I'm looking for material, I would like to go and watch Sea Point Promenade, the gym. Those are the best places to go.
In the gym. So most of us, we go with a towel and like our sweatpants on. You go with your notebook and a pen.
Notebook and a pen and free Wi-Fi. That's what I go to the gym
That's
for.
The ticket. So listen, Devin, did you really start comedy at the age of 15?
Yes, I did. In my high school talent show, grade 9, I did a 25-minute set, actually.
What?
25 minutes. It didn't go down as well as I'd hoped. I mean, it was my first time. I was sweating like no tomorrow. But yeah, and then from there, it became an addiction. I had to just keep going, keep doing it.
Do you still remember that set? You're 25 minutes. That's a long time.
I use exactly 0% of that material today.
So isn't it something you look back on, you're like, well, you live and you learn, or you probably don't want that material to ever surface ever?
I would not like that material to ever surface ever. I do have the video. Some of my close friends and family have the video.
Yeah.
But when I look back and I watch it's not actually that bad.
Listen, I always say when there's embarrassing footage from my childhood that pops up, I'm like, you know what? One day when they need to do a documentary on my life, you know, this is what they need. So it's fine. Think of it in that way. So there you were. You were 15 years old. I'd guess at that age, you already have a feel of like, okay, I may be a funny person. But is it at that age when you also thought, well, now I'm going to make a career out of this?
It was at that age where I wanted to do it, which is why I did the talent show. Mm-hmm. And then ever since that, after that first time on stage, I was like, this is going to be my career path. This is what I want to do. So I started working as hard as I could.
Yeah.
Hustling. I was actually living in Joburg, hustling spots at Parker's, all the Joburg comedy shows. I did all of them. Uh-huh. And then moved to Cape Town. And just ever since then, it's just been ongoing.
Did you move to Cape Town just for like the Instagram worthy pictures, or did you move to Cape Town because is that like where the buzz of, you know, the comedy scene in South Africa is?
It's a mixture of things. Definitely the Instagram worthy photos is a big thing.
Because we all need to go to Lion's Head for a good sunset.
You just have to go once. You take 5 pictures and you got 5 Instagram posts. I mean, come on.
You see, that's the ticket. That's the way to go. Yeah.
But also in Cape Town, there was a lot of comedians that were my mates. So I came here to like have the family kind of vibe amongst the comics. If I need a show, we'll all work together and make it happen.
Yeah.
Not that doesn't happen in Joburg, but I just had more comedian friends in Cape Town as opposed to when I was living in Joburg. I mean, I was 15 to 18.
But yeah.
So when you're standing up against comics that are like 30 to 40, you can't really, you know, go out drinking with them or having a good time with them after the show because my mom's in the car waiting to pick me up.
Yep, so that's only normal. That's absolutely only normal. You say like your dad was one of your inspirations for you. You say like he's one of the funniest people you know. Is that true?
He's not one of the funniest people I know. He's funny to watch.
Oh, okay. Does he approve of this, the fact that like you think he's one of the funniest people to watch?
Funniest people to watch. He's I don't know if you know Big Bang Theory, Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory. He is, they came into our house and wrote notes about him so that they could research Sheldon for the Big Bang Theory. So it's perfect.
So I think with an environment like that, a background like that, so with that sort of inspiration, you can't help but not write sets about this. So it's interesting to hear more about comedians and how you act. So much of your personal life is intertwined and is on stage in a set. Do you ever feel like there should be a line drawn about like, okay, let me not reveal this much, or let me not talk about this person?
I have a rule. Uh-huh. Never let the truth get in the way of a good comedy set.
Okay, hold up. Never let the truth get in the way of a good comedy set.
Yes. So if you have to exaggerate.
Yeah.
never feel that you need to be honest or anything like that. Even though you can still come across as authentic with exaggeration. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what comedy is about. It's about tapping into the imagination and just letting it go.
So with that said, you know, there are comedians who say like, oh, I'll never do a joke about race. And Ellen DeGeneres says, she'll never do jokes that put other people down. If you had to describe your Devin Gray brand of comedy, how would you go about describing it?
Everyday observational humor. I look at things as they are, and I'll try and put that onto the stage.
Yeah.
I tend to stay away from like political views and touchy subjects. I try and keep myself as classy as possible.
I like that word, classy. It just makes you sound like a comedian about to be profiled on Top Billing. That's how it works.
but remember that it was a phrase. It wasn't just a word. I said as classy as possible.
Okay. Sometimes we slip up and these things happen, right, Devin?
These things happen.
And so what would you also have to say goes about making you different as you pursue this as a career? You know, you move about different circles, and when people promote you, what would you have to say makes you different and stand out from the rest?
It's a tough question, but I've always thought that my comedy has been authentic. So if I'm standing up on a stage, you would believe that that is the kind of person I am. So I try and stay as authentic as possible. So if someone likes me as they see me as a comedian, that's what they're going to see off the stage as well, the personality, the flair, all of that. So I try to keep within a certain persona, which is actually my real persona. So I don't put anything on, which is my biggest thing. I've got this character that's just Devin. That's it.
And here's the interesting thing, though, as well, with comedians, it's such a personal, you know, I hate to sound all fluffy and emotional, it really is a personal thing. You know, with a dancer, you can blame the routine if it goes badly. Where, as a singer, you can say like, oh, sorry, well, it was a piano in the background. As a comedian, you're standing there, you're talking about your own personal experiences. How do you deal with criticism or when a set doesn't go well?
Every comedian is going to die. You're going to do badly on a stage at some point. So you kind of have to draw the line between making it personal and taking it, or to wrap it up and say, I need to work on this and this and this.
Yeah.
So that criticism, or the best criticism, is when the audience doesn't laugh. And that criticism is the one that's going to help you the most. So you know what you need to work on, and you know where you stand. You can't let it get too hard, because if it gets too hard, you're not going to survive.
Shucks. No, but like, have you ever walked off stage, like the set really wasn't doing well, and you were like, screw it, I'm done?
Yeah, I have. I've been on a stage once, and I had to come off. I had to go home. If it goes really badly, I just can't stay in the room for too long.
Wow. Okay. We're not going to go over those experiences, but looking in hindsight now, what do you have to say have been one of your standout greatest performances, or some of the people that you've worked with where you really stood back? You're like, oh my goodness. Okay. Devin, pat yourself on the back. You've made it.
I think the best one was when I was 16. We had a show at the Barnyard Theatre with John Vlismas, Deep Fried Man, and Magic Man, and myself. And it was my first ever time hosting, emceeing.
Yeah.
And we had a packed room of 1,000 people, and that was the best I've ever experienced.
No, kudos on you. And listen, let's work towards your show on Friday, the 4th of December, also being one of the greatest shows you've ever had. The Comedy Central Festival taking place at Silver Sands Casino. Tell us more about that.
Working with Cape Town Comedy Club at the Comedy Central International Comedy Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So they've organized 4 guys to go down, and I'm one of them, which is making me happy.
No, that is a good achievement. Kudos on that, yeah.
And one of the guys that's actually with us is my best friend, Lungelo Ndlovu. So that's happening, which is great. It's going to be happening at the Silver Star Casino.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Where can people get more? There we go. Devin, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Fantastic. Where can people get more information on the show, and where can they get tickets, etc.?
You can get tickets at CompuTicket for the Cape Town, the Comedy Central International Comedy Festival.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, just on the capetowncomedy.com, they've got a link to that. You can go there. Mostly on the Comedy Central as well. Their website has everything.
Fantastic.
Getting tickets is easy. That's the easy part. is coming to the show and just experiencing the best thing that Cape Town comedy has to offer.
No, listen, it's going to be a good show, so definitely let's get the people going there. And so listen, Devin, thank you so much for stopping by on the show this morning. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, listen, let's give you about 5 more years, and then we'll be watching The Tonight Show with Devin Gray. No pressure.
No, I don't want The Tonight Show. I want the one that Jon Stewart does, the one where he just makes fun of everyone. That's the one I want.
Oh, well, something in an international billboard with Devon Grey. And just as long as you promise that, like, at least with one opening monologue, Siya Sangweni-Fern from Untapped Talent will be thanked in there.
I definitely will. I'm coming back with a vengeance, and I'm ready to take on the comedy world with full force.
Awesome stuff. All the best for the future, Devon. And awesome. Thank you so much for stopping by this morning.
Thank you for having me. We'll definitely speak soon.
Awesome. Cheers, cheers.
Cheers. Bye.
So that was Devon Grey, a comedian based in Cape Town, who's just about to do a show in Johannesburg on the 4th of December. And that's kind of cool, actually, to get a whole new level of insight about comedy and comedians in South Africa. So a little earlier on, I played you a cover by Alex Iono. You really hope I'm not butchering his name here. But he was doing a cover of Drake's Hotline Bling, and Avishka on WeChat actually says that song, over the last week I've been hearing New Yorkers playing it in the subways at least half a dozen times each day. I feel like, with that said, it's like the instantaneous cool thing to do when you're in New York. And how about you just play Drake while you're just on a subway? How cooler can you get? So I totally get you, Avishka. I hope it wasn't like a Drake overload and you actually enjoyed a whole new spin on it by an unknown who's actually doing the cover. So that part of the show is done and dusted. I'm very excited to chat to my following guest straight after this. Her name is Kelsey. I'm just going by her AKA because I think she's so cool like that. Kelebogile Mabunde is joining me straight after this to talk PR and the entertainment industry in South Africa. This is Untapped Talent.
Untapped Talent on CliffCentral.com. Untapped Talent on CliffCentral.com.
This is Untapped Talent with myself, Siya Sangweni-Fin, right here on CliffCentral.com. So we're continuing the conversation, just chatting to cool people, young people who are cool and they're doing awesome stuff. And yes, I know she's very, very modest. Very humble. Oh, wow. And she doesn't believe that she's cool. She's why me? I'm so boring. I'm like, no, because you're about to teach us a lot of stuff here. Good morning, Kelebogile.
Good morning, Siya.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
I
had a very early morning, so.
How early is early?
4:00.
Okay. That is kind of early.
Call time 4:30.
Never mind. Let's just scratch that out, because at the end of the day, this is the weekend. I'm going to do a formal introduction here. I'm already into the conversation. You work in PR.
Yes.
You're the founder and director of KLM Publicity. Mm-hmm. Doing public relations. You're in the communications industry, you know, which involves entertainment and media, etc., etc.
Yes.
There's no 9-to-5 there.
No. It's when you wake up and when you sleep.
Yeah. There's not even a Monday to Friday.
No.
So for this weekend, for example, are you going to get some downtime to chill, or...
Unfortunately not, because I'm currently working on Soweto Fashion Week right now. So it started yesterday. It's ending tomorrow. I'm also working on Africa Music Concert. We have a press conference
after this.
Yeah, so immediately after this, I'm rushing to the press conference. And then tomorrow, it's the show from 12 till 12 midnight. So in between that, I have to also rush to Soweto Fashion Week at 5 till 9. Then go back.
I'm so sorry. Like, usually I try to be supportive to people, right? I'm like, excuse me.
Yeah.
So essentially you have to be at two places at once tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but I found a way to kind of like...
How?
You know, you find people to kind of like help you. So every time when you do such a big event or such big events, you need to really find such a great team to work with. When you are needed at this place, then you can say, okay, you stay here for now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just 3 hours. I'll be back.
Yeah.
Then things don't fall apart.
I would have to say, in a moment like that, that's when you really realize why you're doing this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if people think PR is so glamorous and you get to attend events because that's what people think it's all about.
Perks.
Those are the perks. But at the end of the day, just because you're at the Africa, you know, Soweto Fashion Week, for example, doesn't mean you're sitting front row. You're actually running around backstage all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really not glamorous. So you need to really love what you're doing. You really need to be into it. You need to be passionate about it. Because if you're not, you're going to end up just strained, like going to burn out, and very quickly even. And you're just going to be frustrated. I've seen people get in for the wrong reason.
Uh-huh.
The very reason of, I'm going to be hanging around. I'm going to be hanging around all these people and I'm going to go to cool events. You know, they don't even understand why publicists go to events. They don't understand the whole networking situation when you get there. You just don't get there and like drink.
Yeah.
You get there to kind of like be in the market, know what's going on, know who's there, know who's in this publication, know, see ya, you know, because people change, they move around all the damn time. And like the more they know you, the more it's easier to pick up a phone and say, hey, I'm doing this, I'm working on this. Are you interested to do a story, or can we do this? Can we do that? Can we have this person on the show? That it makes your job quite easier, if I can say that.
Yeah.
But it's really not that glamorous. I mean, it is fun. You get
the amazing perks.
Yeah,
yes.
They're amazing perks. But at the end of the day, you might just have to go back home to sit until midnight working on a plan or pitching interviews or sending out things, following up with clients. And
now it doesn't sound fun anymore. You just ruined things for me.
So yeah,
let's break things down. What would you have to say is the role of a publicist in a project, in working with a brand, etc., etc.?
Well, basically, a publicist really infiltrate like key messages of the brand or the project or the campaign. So it's not really marketing, but we work very closely to marketing teams and advertising teams. But all you have to do is create perception around the campaign that you're doing, deliver the message, and make sure that people know about the right people, the right targeted market knows about what you're working on or the campaign or the brand.
Yeah.
So it's really not just saying, okay, fine, I know see at Cliff Central, can you do an interview with this person? You need to know why you're doing that interview on Cliff Central. Is the market there for that particular brand or that particular campaign? So it's very strategic, but literally you work on like zero-based budget.
Wow.
Because you can't really pull up a poster in the middle of the road to promote the event.
But exactly.
It's just like relationships and writing up motivations, and sometimes even write up articles for journalists and they just edit it and then they just print it. So it's and managing the whole interview and ensuring that the client is prepared.
Yeah.
The client knows what's going to be happening. So it's a lot of like nitty gritty, but great work.
You see, because I have to say, whoever doubts you whatsoever and what you do, I'll have to say, I was trying to get her on the show and she mails me. She says, Sia, what is the angle of the interview? I'm like, well, I'll just talk to you. Is that an angle?
No, I guess I'm just like, is it? Yeah. Do I have to be here?
I'm like, yes, you have to be here. You're cool. I want to talk to you. So I find that's so interesting.
Thank you so
much. Are publicists involved in the conceptualizing of a campaign, or do you just work on the end product and publicizing that?
You know what? It depends on when the particular client hires you, if I can say. Sometimes they come to you and say, okay, I have this loaf of bread, do a PR plan around it, and publicize it. Sometimes they come to you and they're like, this is what we're doing, we need help here and there. For instance, if you're doing like a concert and they come like, this is the idea, this is who we have, so what do we do? Especially the new promoters or new people in the business, then you're like, no, you need a media partner, which is something out of PR, but it works together. It's part of marketing. So you go, you say you need a media partner, could be TV, could be radio, could be print, and all of that. Then you advise them, you consult with them. Then thereafter, you do, when everything is like all planned, you do a PR plan, then you execute that.
Okay. And then in certain situations, like for example, you're planning this event, it's a lot of people, you know, in this pie, I don't want to land you in hot water, but I'm going to use an example of a concert.
Okay, cool.
You know, we're not saying it's the one tomorrow.
No.
But in a concert, you know,
I'm
you
just
have
assisting the one tomorrow.
Exactly. You have different musicians, and musicians come with riders, and let's just say musician A doesn't like musician B, so they mustn't be placed next to musician B. How do you deal with all of that?
You know what, at the end of the day, work is work. If you're an artist and you're booked, you can either give us your to-dos and not to-dos.
Yeah, like a full-on rider, like,
I
need energy
this.
Drinks.
I want, but sometimes, this is South Africa at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's not America. We don't really have that much bandwidth to kind of like accommodate everybody's needs. What you can do is that step on stage on your time and you step off and you leave. But if it's like where we invite people to be guests, mm-hmm. then we it's easier to manage it if they tell us ahead of time. But I've never really received any crazy requests.
Damn it!
So
I thought you were going to expose someone this morning.
I just feel like people will sit together. I've seen people that are, well, we've heard that they're rivals or they don't like each other, be in the same space. But I feel like sometimes people just like swallow it.
Yeah,
calm down. And just be.
Okay, even though you haven't personally experienced, you know, this crazy rider or demands directly, have you heard of any crazy stories?
I've heard of crazy
stories. What's the craziest story you've ever heard of, like an artist demanding X, Y, and Z?
I think it was for Chris Brown's concert.
Oh.
The first time he came around. And
what year was this? We have to realize where...
It was 2012.
2012, okay. Chris Brown, 2012, okay. It was after the Rihanna attack.
Yes.
And he was sort
of
bad boy-ish.
He was going through a lot of
yeah.
things, I think. He was just moody, man. He, even on stage, he was not there.
So what did he request? Candles?
He wanted quite a lot of champagne. That's the one thing I remember.
Really?
And a particular champagne, which is Ace of Spades. And like, it's
no.
very expensive.
You know? Hells yes.
Yeah. So, and the promoter couldn't really... you know, give him that. And he was apparently very upset.
Was the entourage there as well? How many people are we talking about in the entourage?
Usually it's dude, you can't even count them. It depends on the artist.
Yeah.
Some of them bring like a full band. I know the person was so lovely that I also helped Two Tone with was Jill Scott. Like, she had a full band. She had a few bodyguards and she had a few friends, but like it was a full band.
Have you ever heard of anything crazy like a spiritual guide coming in, a part of the entourage, and the assistant of the assistant and the chef as well coming up and you have to take care of them?
No.
Okay, damn it.
No.
Oh,
no.
I'm really hoping for exclusives here this morning. It's fine.
No. No.
But so, have you ever met someone, you know, for example, Jill Scott, you now say that you met her and she was incredibly nice. Have you ever met someone and you were disappointed or, you know, pleasantly surprised by who they turned out to be in person?
Kendrick Lamar.
How is he?
He was a headache.
Okay. Okay. In what way exactly?
You know, like, I just feel like him and his management were, like, not really so cooperative.
Yeah.
He just didn't want to chill. Like, for instance, at the press conference, he was like, he's not going to sit with the South African artist. So they must do their interviews or, like, the session, and then when they're done with their questions, they must just get off, and then he'll be alone. He was literally sitting alone on the panel, where else when we had Two Chains for Miller, and he was like literally with everybody, and he was just like, who are you, what do you do, what kind of a rapper are you? He was so interested. I remember he was sharing a panel with Reason, which was, it was really like, I was disappointed with Kendrick because I would have expected him to be much nicer.
Yeah.
You know? But
this is not to land anyone else into hot water, really. But I'd like to know, I know you've worked in projects where you deal with international artists coming to South Africa. What is their perception of South Africa? Do they see us as an equal playing field? Because I've been to concerts and I know of people who go to concerts and they're like, but international artist X didn't really perform, or they didn't even change outfits. Are we taken seriously as a country? Do they see us as an impressive audience? Do they really go out there and try to make an effort?
I think most of them do try, but you must also remember that they come with what they've been doing everywhere.
Yeah.
So you can't really say, because Rihanna didn't change her outfit and...
Okay, so you just exposed the person.
I was not working on the concert, but I was there. I remember people were raving about you know, she didn't do all of that. But you must understand that it's her set that she planned for South Africa. I don't think it's in any way saying she doesn't take us seriously or any of that. I just feel like it's just, maybe she just wanted to perform more songs. If you remember, she performed quite a lot of songs. And where else when you get like some artists like Chris Brown perform only one album when he came.
Yeah.
So, you know, where else Rihanna started from like Music of the Sun till where she is right now. So, I mean, it depends on the set. it depends on like what they've planned for us, but I doubt they really...
But they still at least view us as a good, credible country, not
yes,
just like Africa, the motherland. Okay, so so that's good. Okay, so back to you and focusing on you and your career. You were nominated as a rising star a few months ago in Business at Text 100. Let's talk about that. What does that mean?
Well, it was not even actually a few months ago. It's actually when I was like still starting up in my career when I was like...
How old were you when you got nominated?
I was 19.
Shucks, that must feel good.
So I literally in varsity I was like, okay, fine, I'm already bored. Let me start working. You know, because I was staying at Res.
Yeah.
So I started working while I was still studying. I was in second year when I started working, and by third year I worked for this global company called Text 100, and literally there was for like. It's a global thing because they're a global agency.
Yeah.
So they will first like separate it to like regions.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, some Asian guy won the global award.
At the age of 19, to say that you were at least nominated while you're still studying in second year, was that a big moment for you to go, you know what, I'm really doing this and I'm really going to make a name for myself?
You know what? Then I was like, okay. It's okay. When I got nominated, I was like, it's fine. And then we were sitting in the boardroom and like, everything was like on a telecon. And then they mentioned my name. And I was like, oh, are they still announcing the nominees? And then my manager's like, no, you won the award.
Wow.
And it was just the funniest thing. And I just still didn't get it until the managing consultant, who was like basically the boss in South Africa, came to me and she's like, you know what? I see you as being one of the best PR people in South Africa. And I will never forget those words. And she was really, she was one of those like tough people to work for. But when she said that to me, I was like, okay.
That really means a lot.
And then that's when it hit me that, oh, shucks, this is actually a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. It's
and,
really cool.
You know, when you're navigating such an industry at such a young age as well, who are some of the people that you look up to? And who are some of the people you've really learned a lot from in your career thus far?
Well, I really look up to my former mentor and manager, line manager, Ethel Ramos. She's a director at Wagner.
Wow.
And my very best friend, Melanie Ramji.
Yes.
Who I...
AKA Hypress. Can I just say that I love your AKAs? There's like at Kelsey Morrow, at Hypress. I'm like, screw Melanie and screw Kelebuchile. I'm going to call Chial Hypress and Kelsey Morrow all the time. Yeah.
So I've worked with her like... You know what? When I was working for like agencies and corporates and stuff, Ethel was really there because she's really strong in that kind of like department and market and, you know, working for like a corporate. Like then I was handling like accounts like IBM, Cisco.
That's a big
business
big
software alliance
clients,
and all of that. Yeah. So and she's very good with technology and all of that, like the business element of PR.
Yeah.
And then when I stepped out and I was like, you know what? I think I'm ready to, after like doing my research and like working, I think I'm ready to do my thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember Mel was just like, whenever you need anything, right here. So so that's why it's always been so easy because we trust each other. When she has something, then we work together. Or when she hears this, she gives it to me. When I'm like, oh, there's this thing happening. There's this new person. Talk to this person to get this client on board. It doesn't even feel like work anymore.
Yeah.
You know, with our relationship, even with this AMC concert happening, it was just a matter of like, do you need help? Okay, I'll be there. Okay. Do you need to set up certain interviews? Do you need extra hands?
Yeah.
Even though she does have another team she's working with, Gwen Ironzi. So but it's really like a collective, and it's such a beautiful relationship because it works for everybody. And when I need help, she can come through and help me and stuff. So
I think that must be cool to know that there's someone, you know, in your corner ready to fight for you, ready to help you out, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's awesome. Your relationship is amazing. I watch it from afar and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're so awesome.
Sometimes there's times when it's like cats and fights. Yeah.
That is every relationship,
but, you know,
though.
Love always like come and like...
Exactly. No, even when I called her this week, just to confirm the interview, she's like, thank you for choosing my girl. You know, I'm so proud of her. I'm like, okay, thank you. We aren't about to cry over the phone. But listen, you've done so much in your career thus far. I think it's so admirable to see a young South African who's just spearheading and just so focused and driven. Take that compliment. And really, I'm being sincere with this. And, you know, having your own company, you're involved in certain different projects. And, you know, you've worked on the 2010 Channel O Music Video Awards. You've worked on the 2010 Fashion Month for the World Cup. You've worked and represented Leanne Liebenberg, my hashtag woman crush forever. You've worked with Craig Jacobs with his label. Do you have standout favorites of like, yo, I'll never get this production or this project, or, you know, my heart will always be with this person? Do you have like any favorites?
Not really, because I get into everything that I do. I always say I will never work on like a campaign or brand that I don't believe in, because it makes it very hard for you to kind of like create key messages and sell this brand.
Yeah.
So every brand, because
if you don't believe in them, how are you going to make others?
Exactly. So I love all the clients that I've worked with, and I think. The one thing I pride myself is I'm not always desperate to work with everybody and to kind of be everywhere. I feel like the pie is too big for everybody, and there's so many publicists now as well. So
do you get kind of ticked off when Mr. So-and-so has 200 followers on Twitter and took a selfie and that's his avatar, and he's sitting in his bedroom at home and says on Twitter, I'm a publicist? Do you kind of feel like, excuse me, you have, you know, what are you talking about?
I used to kind of get irritated because I'm like, it's not that easy. It's not a play thing.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know what? We all have our journeys.
One day, Fubu, you'll realize.
You know what? If it's for you, it's for you. If you find a lot of people that learn on the job, you find people like me that have to literally go to school, then go to work for somebody, learn from somebody, then still have your theory background. But you just find some people just want to, you know, hop in and be like, I'm a publicist without any background,
but
any
not
experience.
Even future publicists, not publicists in training. No. But anyway.
And you just allow people. And if people go and they hire those people, they will get burned. Then, you know, they will learn.
Yeah. That's they'll learn their own way.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine. Kelsey, listen, if we were to see you in 10 years' time, where would Kilebogile be? What would she be doing? Who would she be working for? Let's speak things into existence here.
Well, literally, my main focus and my very interest is consumer brands and mainly fashion and beauty, which I've started kind of like aligning my business into going into. I've also recently worked with Schwarzkopf, Ladine, and all those brands, and looking forward to signing more next year. So I see my business literally being in those lines, more fashion and beauty, and bigger and better, and still like going.
Just spearheading strong. Know, and I can see
logo in the making.
Listen, I'll see you on the cover of Forbes magazine. It's bound to happen.
You know, you see.
Yeah.
Those kind of things.
There we go. Nice and simple.
Nice and simple.
Look at that. Just like an hour done and dusted. But like, thank you so much for stopping by this morning. You've been absolutely amazing. I hope the interview wasn't as daunting as it was. But listen,
the thought was.
You know what? It was a good story, you know, to find out more about you, I think, is absolutely amazing.
Thank you so much,
Sia. So December holidays, does that exist in your book?
Well, literally, I have probably a week and a half to sleep, and then I have to get back because we're doing Freshers' Eve in Durban. So,
okay, is that where everyone is headed for New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Cliff Central will be doing their own thing. Excuse us, like we'll kind of be busy here as well. What can we say?
Do you have a holiday?
I am taking about like a little week off.
Okay,
that's the most I can do right now.
You're also like in there.
Not whatsoever. And where can people get more info on you and your business, etc., and where can we follow you?
Okay, the website is klmpublicity.com, and on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, it's at @klmpublicity, and my personal funny little profile.
Your funny little profile. No, it is an interesting profile to follow.
Kelz Limo, literally K-E-L-Z-I-E. E.
Yeah.
L-E-E-M-O. So yeah, I always have to remind myself.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you so much for stopping by this morning. Thank you to Gelebogile and thank you to Devin as well for joining me earlier on in the show. And most importantly, thank you for listening. We do this every single Friday on cliffcentral.com from 9 till 10 or whenever you want to listen on podcast. So until next week, my name is Sia and I'll see ya.
Untapped talent on cliffcentral.com.
I was never brave. I was young, out of control, drinking, drowning, brewing the storm. I was never brave. Bengigwala, buckled, crawled, crashed. I was never brave. Just another sister sinking into the shadows. If only someone had stepped in, pulled me out. That's why I became the mentor I wish I'd had. Help under 18 say no to alcohol. Sign up at sabstories.co.za. #BeTheMentor. A South African Breweries initiative.
This is CliffCentral.com.